Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back into the Badger Extra Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. I am joined today by Jake Kokorowski, our Badgers athletics reporter, and my tag team partner here on the football beat. We are coming off 14 out of 16 days down in Platteville or something like that, Jake? A little road weary coming back and forth from Madison down into the southwest corner of the state, but we saw a lot of football, a lot of plays, a lot of training camp action. We got more of it coming up here in Madison this week. So we are here to break it all down for you here on the podcast. So that's what we are going to do. Jake, just as we get going here, general thoughts on Platteville, a place I spent a lot of time 4 years as a student down there.
Yeah, Steve's Pizza Palace, shout out for our favorite destination because of the one, food, two, Wi-Fi. So there's a lot of working we've done there in the past 2 years.
Please help having an open Wi-Fi password.
Yeah, and shout out to the crew for bringing the mini pitchers of soda for me and my extreme caffeine addiction. So shout out to that crew. You know, Platteville, it's taxing, but it's what we have to do. But, you know, our little carpool, our Badger Extra carpool is always fun. But Wisconsin went through, I mean, it was 2 weeks of things, right? On the football thing where it was hot the first week, extremely hot. And then it cooled down a little bit, still warm for summer, but a lot more manageable. And, you saw growth out of players like Tyler Van Dyke, who started off, I felt a little bit slow and then picked it up towards the end. And you started seeing plenty of other things with the defense and even started seeing the younger guys starting to contribute more with the second team. Last night, Sunday's practice. And so you saw progression and outside of the delicious food, because I think we've sampled almost everything there. It's time to get back to Madison and it's time to see. I mean, this is, by the way, for y'all, like, this is kind of, I don't know if it's, I'd say unprecedented, but now we're going to have an extra week of camp to watch here in Madison. That's almost three full weeks of practice to watch, which we have not really had before in recent memory from what I can recall. So, I mean, we're going to have a really good view of what Wisconsin about 2 weeks from game day is going to look like.
Yeah. Before we move on from Platteville, I just want to give a quick shout out to Ryan Munns and his staff down there at UW Platteville, head football coach, letting us use their offices to work as well, just because we got a lot of stuff they were trying to get done down there. So that was very helpful for Coach Munch, who was my offensive coordinator when I played down at Platteville, and now he's the head coach. So shout out to those guys. Thank you very much. And after giving shout outs, Jake, we got our number one shout out to give out.
That's right, folks.
Because this podcast is brought to you by Jake Henry & Sons Bourbon and Rye. Reward yourself. Our whiskey is the labor of love that is meant to be experienced after a hard day's work or play. So check out Jake Henry wherever you get your bourbon or rye.
That's good right about now, man. I'll tell you what, after that 11 o'clock, we were at that McDonald's.
Staying off here on Monday, thinking about cracking one open?
I think so. But yeah, I like mine on the rocks. Get it on the rocks. Got my nice little neat little bourbon drink cup.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back breaking down what we saw down in Platteville, the quarterback competition, and everything else that's going on with Badger football right after this.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Jake, so everything about this team, I wouldn't say boils down to the quarterback competition, but it always seems to go back to it, right? What the offense will look like, how it's going to operate, how the defense can kind of work off of that or set that up. I think a lot of the conversation on this team comes back to the quarterback, and everybody on the outside that wasn't watching practice that didn't quite understand that it was a true 50-50 split of reps up until last night had the assumption that it was going to be Tyler Van Dyke. And then I think regardless of what Luke Fickell said afterward about some of the plan that went in and why things didn't happen, Tyler Van Dyke gets all the first team reps during a scrimmage on Sunday. I think that's a harbinger of what's to come here. I think this is Tyler Van Dyke's job. I think the deep passing that we've talked about a number of times was the biggest differentiator between him and Braden Locke. There's just a touch and an accuracy when Van Dyke goes deep that Locke just does not quite possess. And then when you're talking about this offense that's trying to be more explosive, trying to climb out of some of the ruts they got into, where defenses, you know, you can spread the field out horizontally all you want with your formations and your receivers and all that, but if you're not a threat down the field and you're a more running team like that team was last season, you're going to see loaded boxes and everything they used to see with the Paul Chryst offense, and that's really what happened. Now, maybe that box is intended to slow down guys like Will Pauling as opposed to just running backs, but that's what happened. So I think when you look at the quarterback spot, that person has to be able to elevate, get this team down the field with an explosive play, with his arm. And that's what Van Dyke does, I think, just simply better than the rest of the roster. And you know what this coaching staff feels about experience and having been there before. And Van Dyke's been through pretty much every up and down you can experience in your career, you know, outside of winning a national title. So I think he's kind of proven himself. He's the guy. We'll see if the reps are, you know, divided up again this next week. But I think you're getting pretty close to the time where you've got to say, all right, here are the keys, Tyler, and, you know, start getting used to this offensive line, used to this receiving core, and, you know, this first team offense as you go forward.
I think kudos does need to be given to Braden Locke, because, I mean, he may not have, we've talked about it even last week, where it just, he has made strides. He's made significant strides than what you saw in the Indiana game back last season. But, you know, and he's a film junkie. Phil Longo called him a savant, all that stuff. So, like, the intelligence is a football IQ is there. He's improved his running ability. We saw him on some runs yesterday during the scrimmage slash practice that, you know, he took off, had a little bit of speed to him there. He's a solid decision maker, can make the throws, but had a couple touchdowns. I think it was, to Jackson McGohan yesterday, at least one for sure in the early part of practice. And so you're seeing that, and you're like, okay, he's more primed for a role or more, you know, if he needs to be called in, there's going to be more success. You and I, and I think a lot of people are in agreement that just the physical gifts of Tyler Van Dyke, the arm talent, like we talked about last week, the running ability, everything's there. And it's just once he becomes more and more comfortable within this offense, and we saw it towards the end of spring ball last, back in April and in early May, and you're seeing it now where, you know, you're starting to see him get a little bit more comfortable. He's throwing the ball with more confidence. He can fit it in tighter windows. He can make those sideline throws about 15 to 20 yards down the field in those intermediate routes. So I think it's a good sign for Wisconsin. It's a good, you know, still, I'll still say it's a good problem to have, where you know, I don't, people that say that you have, you know, when you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you don't have one. I beg to differ here, because you saw what happened with Tanner Mordecai's injury last year and an inexperienced Braden Locke, who, despite his intelligence and all that stuff, he's still inexperienced. Now that's changed.
Yeah, and really what you want is what happened, I think. I think you wanted to have Tyler Van Dyke pushed and have to perform well and not just come right in and be the guy. And Locke did that. Locke accomplished that goal. But I think now, if you don't start giving Van Dyke these first team reps these next 2 weeks, that's a lot of valuable time that you're kind of taking away with him at the first team offense. And I don't know. I mean, you mentioned all the good things that Braden Locke's done, and we know he's very well liked and respected in this locker room and by the coaches. So I think there is some service to be done there, where you're not trying to kind of bury that guy, because you've got to have him ready, like you mentioned. But I also feel like you're at a point in camp where, yeah, does Tyler Van Dyke need to be awesome to beat a Western Michigan or a South Dakota after that? No, probably not. Assuming everything else is okay defense and running game wise, right? But you need him to be awesome to beat Alabama. You need him to be very good to have a shot against USC. Like, you need that guy to be at his best. And I think what we've seen, a little bit of slow starts, I don't know if that's going to be how it is when the games come, but you need that guy in a consistent pattern, knowing that, okay, first team's I'm up, and then second team I'm resting, I'm watching, right? Like, I think getting him in a pattern in practice these next 2 weeks is going to be really important to have success when you get to these big games, because that's one of the nice things for us on the outside, but one of the tough things for players in this schedule that Wisconsin has this year. You've got two easier games that you're going to be heavily favored in, and then it's right into the fire with two games that you're the underdog in.
It's absolutely crazy that we're over 2 weeks, but like 2.5 weeks away from the season. And like I said, these are the practices now where you found out about yourself these first 2 weeks in Platteville, and you've also gotten away. And you have the ability that you can find out who, you know, depending on if they're, especially if they stayed healthy, who could solidify further spots from what's happened. But now it's going to be time to start turning attention to, you know, who they're got the face going forward. And so it's going to be, I think, depending upon whoever gets those reps. And we saw Van Dyke get those first team reps yesterday, and we'll see what happens tomorrow when you guys are all listening to this podcast, just how those reps are split. But yeah, I think it'd be a good thing to have a more uneven split going into this week. And so, and I think with Van Dyke too, especially with him being newer in this offense, just build that chemistry, build stuff with Will Pauling. And we saw them hit a bunch of, during that practice, Van Dyke hit Will Pauling many times. And I know that Luke Fickell said, hey, I don't know if I really want Will Pauling getting that many receptions, but hey, if he's your, third team all Big Ten selection, who is who made a big mark, you throw who's open. I know what he meant by Bryson Green and Tredge Kekahuna and CJ Williams or Vinny Anthony II also getting some touches there, but you see Van Dyke working with those guys, build the chemistry more. Still get Braden some reps, because obviously you never know when you're in need a moment's notice to jump in. But I think Van Dyke has shown that he has the talent to lead this offense and has the most talent out of everybody. And that helps. I think, like you said, the more reps are only going to help as we enter the season.
Yeah. And you mentioned Van Dyke's running ability earlier. And that's something that I questioned, in all honesty, when he came here, because I saw a lot of his games last season where he was going through that leg injury. I didn't understand how bad the injury was and all the details of it until now that I've gotten to talk to him a few times, and you kind of look into all the stuff that he had to deal with. He described it as he basically had to play in a hula hoop in the pocket last year. Like, moving around was not going to work, and he knew it going into every game. So it was basically fend for yourself in the pocket, throw it and fall down so you don't get hit on your leg. That's not what he looks like right now. He looks, I think, probably the best he ever has running the ball. And we know that this read option game inside this offense is very important to give the numbers advantage to the offensive line and the running back going the other way. As long as the quarterback is at least a threat, like Tanner Mordecai showed last season, like they think Van Dyke can do this year, it really puts defenses on their heels and makes sure that you have the advantage with whatever the quarterback decides to do. And Van Dyke's the best one I think they have of doing that right now in terms of the two guys that were competing for the number one job. So there's just a lot of signs to me that the competition is fairly over. Like, if for whatever reason Van Dyke were to go in the tank for the next 2 weeks, then yeah, Braden Locke's going to be the guy. I just don't anticipate that happening. Jake, let's shift focus here quickly to the other side of the ball and what the two quarterbacks have been going against, because particularly this week, the defense has been bringing the heat, man. It has been blitz city ever since. I think we had the little break where we didn't go down to Platteville for a couple of days. This whole weekend, really. I don't know if Mike Trussell just installed a lot more of their blitz packages or they're just running them more in practice right now, because they were getting decent pressure with four. I think the outside linebackers were having a really good camp before that. But now you start bringing guys up the middle. Like, you know, your Jaheim Thomas's, your Jake Chaney's, your Allegro's, these guys. And then it just compounds what the guys on the outside were already doing, because then they're one-on-one. There's no sliding to anybody. There's no guards coming over and helping out. It is just one-on-one football, and then the defender in some of these cases has a 3 to 4 yard head start, particularly some of these running backs, like the freshman you mentioned before, are getting their first exposure to real pass protection at the college level. It's been a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks this weekend.
Yeah, and our star of the day, or your star of the day yesterday, was John Pius, the outside linebacker who, during one stretch, and Kevin Haywood was working at right tackle, and so he's still learning, but, you know, you had the physical prowess of Pius at, he's a mature player, and Haywood is going to be a great offensive lineman at Wisconsin, but he's still learning too, and he's also flipping over to the right side of the line. But Pius, very much got into that backfield. You've seen Darryl Peterson have his flashes during camp, more so during spring. Leon Lowry looking sharp. And then you mentioned Jaheim Thomas, where they go to certain packages where he can rush from the inside or the outside. And then you have the inside linebacker pressure. So, on top of that, too, I also feel like the defensive line is also getting a little bit of pressure, too, where it's not just, it's mostly, I'd say the linebackers, there's just so much talent there that they can send them. But I also feel you have guys like Kurt Neal and James Thompson Jr. that I think can put some pressure where needed to, and help clean up where, let's say, Thomas or Pius or Lowry or Peterson can collapse a pocket from the outside. They can push up and then they can stop them there. So it's a welcome sign. And it's one thing where you don't want to always send five or six guys, because that's going to leave, Luke Fickell talked about it, where it was kind of a catch where they didn't really want to do it, but they had to do it at times last year. And so, you need to create some takeaways in that with some pressure. And so that's going to be something to watch. The first 2 weeks, obviously Western Michigan, South Dakota, we'll see. How you can gauge the pressure there, but come against Alabama, and that might be its own special thing in of itself in terms of strategy with someone that's as very much talent as Jalen Milroe and trying to contain him. Yeah, but you have to have some pressure. When he's running around
and kind of just making stuff happen on his own.
Exactly. So that's where, with that versatility, that'll be interesting. But they do. I think if you're a Wisconsin fan, it's a very much a welcome sign. And that will allow them to do more within this defense in year two of Mike Tressel's scheme.
Yeah. Jake, you've obviously been covering this program a little longer than I have. I want your idea. To me, when I watch this defense, I get a lot of shades of that 2021 team up front. I think they've got enough talent in the defensive line that they're not going to be slouches out there. They even have the biggest playmakers. There's no Keanu Benton. Let's just, nip that in the bud. There's nobody like a Benton in there. But they've got enough guys on the defensive line that are playing well that you can get in and, they can go really hard for 5-6 plays, and then you rotate out and you got another guy coming in and doing that. You've got the studs on the outside that I think are going to be kind of household names pretty quickly here in Wisconsin that we've talked about already. And then the additions of these linebackers, they always talk about, we want depth at the inside linebacker spot. But then when it came to game days, it was the same two guys every single play, right? It was, in the year I'm talking about.
Burks and
no. Yeah, right.
No, Burks and next Herbert. Yep.
Yeah. And then, it was Chanel and Sanborn at the inside spots. And they talked about, they wanted depth there, but they never rotated. I really think they're going to rotate these inside linebackers a decent amount. Allegro is going to play behind a Jaheim Thomas. I think Tackett Curtis is starting to come on a little bit more. It seems like he's getting the defense installed in his head, or, kind of just understands what he's supposed to do out there. I think he's going to play a little bit behind a guy like Jake Chaney. I don't think they're going to leave these guys on the field for 75, 80 plays a game like they have in the past. And I think if that's the case, you're just going to see the best of those guys, or at least the freshest version of those guys, week to week, play to play. This front seven, at least, looks very reminiscent of that team where they don't have to blitz a ton, but when they do, it's pretty effective.
Right. And I think it's, Matt Mitchell's talking about the outside linebackers kind of being 1A, 1B with what they want to do at the outside linebacker spot. And we'll see what happens with Aaron Witt, if he can you know, working his way back. He wasn't at practice. He didn't practice yesterday either. And so with that too, they've also, I think we should talk about too, when it comes to just who they've put in with outside linebackers too, besides the, you know, those first four where it was Thomas Heiberger, but he's been out. Can someone like Sebastian Cheeks, who we saw yesterday, get some pressure with the second team reps? And he's also, you know, kind of worked in kind of like a, like Jaheim Thomas, where he can both work inside and outside. And that might be, you know, a place where he can thrive a little bit and provide at least a few snaps, but that's going to be key. Yeah. It's going to be, can you keep the guys healthy enough? Cause you don't want the CJ Getz situation from last year, where so many that he's just, you know,
He's not the best version of himself by November, and you're kind of playing diminished with whatever route you go, you know?
Right. And so that's where, I mean, they're going to need to, especially with what they want to do with this defense and the speed that they want to play with, and also just the speed of the, just the speed of college football offenses and what they're trying to do. So I think Wisconsin, for the most part, like outside linebacker does, I don't want to say concern, but it's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, you're very comfortable with that top three, and then you're making some calculated risks once you get past those guys. When you mentioned Cheeks, Ernest Willer, the highly anticipated freshman defensive lineman, has been playing outside linebacker, and Fickell said on Sunday they think they found a home for him now, probably that boundary spot going forward, which I kind of like. I think he's been doing really well out there. He seems very comfortable in a two-point stance.
Right, and he's
a pretty big transition for a guy like him that was, you know, good at a three-point stance, obviously.
But yeah, he's got twitch, too. I mean, there's a power, there's twitch there, and I think that's, you know, stands out, where you're like, oh, I mean, he's already at the, you know, the weight. Like an Elulafale, who has had a pretty good camp where he's been able to, you know, Matt Mitchell wants to see more consistency out of him, but he has made some plays with some sacks during this camp with the twos. But Willer is already at the size, at a bigger size than Lafayette, and they can get him off the boundary there and just, hey, pin your ears back and go after him on a third down.
Yeah.
That can only help.
Yeah, it's something that I think is just a testament to the fact that this team overall, I think, is deeper talent-wise, and that talent matches what they want system-wise better than last season. So I think there are a lot of things working in this current roster's favor versus where they were at this point in 2023. But, Jake, before we move over to some fan questions, we thank you guys for submitting those, but just wanted to give a quick another shout-out to Jay Henry & Sons. Jay Henry & Sons, Wisconsin handcrafted bourbon and rye, aged in new charred oak barrels in an uncontrolled environment. So, jumping over to some fan questions that have been submitted to us on X. Thank you guys for doing that. We're going to jump to a question from the Dairy Raid, Ryan Anderson, a guy that huge Badger fan, lives out in Europe and does a lot of film breakdowns on his YouTube account.
What up, Brian?
Yep, there you go. He said, we've been hearing a lot about the unique personnel groups, two and three backs, the receivers flipping positions, etc. during training camp. How does it compare to last year at this time when we heard similar, but none of them actually made the field? So my thing with this is, I think you're going to see it more because it's a reflection of where they sit talent-wise at certain positions, particularly running back. They want to get these young running backs on the field. I think they want to do it in a pretty contained way. I think they want to give them maybe 8 to 9 plays in terms of a package and say, here's what you're going to do. Here are your assignments. Study them very hard. We're not throwing everything on your plate yet. Like, here's what you're going to do in these certain spots. I think that's how they're going to get on the field, because athletically, they're ready to play. You watch them against even ones and twos in this defense, they can play. But asking them to do a ton right away is going to be tough, because these are guys that showed up in the summer. We're talking about Darion Dupree, Dylan Jones. These are guys that showed in the summer, are going to have to learn a lot in terms of pass protection, just general assignments outside of here's the ball, run to the left. So as much as you can simplify it for those guys and just let them be football players, that's going to be the best route, I think, going forward. And then the having receivers flip positions, to me, that's a question more about how successful the offense is. Because we saw last year, when they want to go fast and they weren't having success, they didn't have a whole lot of incentive to move guys in and out and change positions and kind of flip guys around. Because it's like, hey, no, this is the thing we've practiced the most. If we're not doing this right, what's the point of changing it up, right? I think this year, if they're moving the ball a little bit better, you're going to see guys like Vinny Anthony, CJ Williams, maybe jump in some slots of some four receiver sets, Kekahuna and Pauling on the field at the same time, stuff like that, because they're going to try to create different matchups. If something's working, then they'll be like, okay, here's the counterpunch to that. Wait for the defense to adjust to that counter. Then you go back to the original one. So I think you're going to see more variety just because, as I mentioned before, roster-wide, I think it's deeper and is a better fit for this scheme and on both sides of the ball.
Right. And I think the big thing is just depth, where we're looking at even running back you already mentioned. And I think there's right now, six running backs essentially that can play, that have shown that they can do things, various things. And they're all kind of complementary of one another. There's not like one player that, or two players that really are similar together. And I think that's a very good sign for Wisconsin. And so, yeah, depending on how many backs you see, how they could be utilized. Jackson Aker, I think, is going to be one player that's going to be very interesting with just how he's used in terms of H-back work. And just like, if he technically he's a running back, but he's up to 245 now and he looks strong and he runs hard. We've seen him run hard during live periods. And you're like, that seems like an intriguing piece. But yeah, you're right about the depth at wide receiver, where you've seen Vinny Anthony like yesterday make a great catch on the sideline from a Tyler Van Dyke throw. CJ Williams, I think has put together a very good camp. He had a touchdown too with second team reps at the beginning of practice when they were doing these one-on-one competitions between offense and defense. He located the ball and caught it nicely. So yeah, I think you'll be able to see some different things from this team and not just, the SOS same old stuff, put it in PG terms, but we'll just see how. I think with the wide receivers, one thing to watch is just continued progression of someone like a Quincy Burroughs or someone like a Joe Griffin Jr. down the road later, Chris Brooks Jr. Later in the year, and see if they can do that, if they trust those players to do those jobs, that's when you can kind of move around, or Tyrell Henry for that matter, who can work both inside and outside. I think that's going to be key, is making sure that depth stays on. If there's injuries that hit, well, that's going to change things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's jump over to another question. This is from Kyle Raybuck on Twitter here. O-line depth was one of the main concerning talking points in the spring. Listening to numerous podcasts and reading the articles, it hasn't been as much of a hot topic these last 2 weeks in training camp. Are they more confident in freshmen now, or does someone else step up? So, combination there. I think you hit both points. Or, I don't know. You hit one of the two main points. I think a guy like Kevin Haywood, you mentioned him before, Jake, he's done enough that you can feel okay having him in there. It's not what it would be with Jack.
Not optimal.
Not optimal, but I think you can
doable
function. Yeah, you can function. Beyond that, yeah, it's a concern. I think it was one of those deals where it was better than the spring, so it wasn't as just glaring every time they had the second unit out there. It was chaos. But yeah, there's a steep drop-off between the first line and the second line at pretty much every spot. The only thing that I would say is Joe Huber, who's playing right guard right now, is going to be the backup center. They'll have somebody else listed at the backup center on probably the
Terry, but Terry Kodanko,
yeah, so they'll have him listed there as the backup center, but in reality, if Jake Huber Jake Renfro were to go down, it'll be Joe Huber sliding in and playing center. Point being, though, big drop-off still. First line, any injury in the shuffle that's going to create, we've seen it already. Riley Mullman goes down, misses a few practices here. Sounds like he's going to be back pretty quickly for the Badgers, but Haywood has to slide in, and the right side of the line is compromised. It's not fair for him because he's a true freshman going against a guy like John Pius. That's a really tough matchup. But at the same time, hey, man, you've proven yourself that you're the best next tackle we have. And these are the type of guys you're going to see in the Big Ten. So that's the progression that's going on right now. Is it's not great because these freshmen have to come in and the training wheels are thrown right out the window. They don't get a runway to learn as well as some other classes before them, but you can spin it as a positive and say they're getting a ton of practice reps that classes before them wouldn't have gotten. And you know, starting next year, they're going to be the guys that are going to be looked to be competing for those starting jobs.
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, nothing. It's we're not taking anything away from Kevin Haywood, because he, AJ Blazek has talked about him, you know, back in the spring, talking about him being special, and you can see it from him, and you can see the, I mean, it's a baptism by fire situation with him and Colin Cubberly during the spring, and it's continued for Haywood now, mostly getting second team reps at left tackle before Malman bowing out of practice for a while, and now he's got to swing over and learn a completely different. You know, there's a. I don't think people realize the difference between left and right tackle. Where, yeah, okay, you just flip it, but there, you know, you're used to doing one thing, and he's only been at left tackle. He didn't get right tackle reps over in the spring, so it's not just, oh yeah, flip over my mindset. Like, he's learning during these practices. Like, oh yeah, I got to do this now. And so, but I do think, I mean, you have Haywood and Cubberly, and Luke Fickell talked about Emerson Mandel yesterday. During about when he was asked about the young, you know, which freshman, first year freshman he felt could potentially step up. And I mean, he named Haywood. We were like, okay, but then he also mentioned Cubberly and Mandel. And that, I think, shows potentially just where, you know, that they're beginning to earn more trust there. Again, not optimal if they have to play by any stretch, but this is a class that had four of the five players had four-star commits by at least one outlet. So you see the talent there. And with Mandel, it's one thing too, with like the option. Yeah, he comes from like a triple option offense. And so that's going to be, you know, learning the pass sets and learning that stuff. That's going to be something that he'll continue to have to grow in. So I agree with you completely with like what you see in the first team compared to the second team. It's a very stark difference. And they do have some things they can do, like Jack Nelson, if something happens there, they could go Haywood at left tackle, or we saw it yesterday, Joe Brenner bumping out the left tackle, and then you have JP Benchwell come in, and that could be a potential situation. Again, not optimal, but doable. And so that's going to be something to watch too, is like, who are the 6th, 7th, 8th guys that they can trust going in, and can guys like Barrett Nelson and others, you know, can they step up too?
For sure. All right, Jake, we'll wrap up with a quick one here. This one comes from Badger Hugh. National sports media this month already seems to have either dismissed Wisconsin or left them entirely out of the conversation. That includes the AP poll that came out on Monday. They're not ranked in that as well. So he asks, are the Badgers adopting underdog mentality regarding overcoming the disrespect to prove pundits wrong? I'm going to go quickly and just say, I don't think so. I think the idea of like the underdog makes that. This team didn't have those types of expectations that they were going to be like highly thought of. I guess that's what I would say. Like, to feel like you're an underdog means like you think people were going to give you more respect. I think this team knew coming into this offseason and this early year that they were kind of be overlooked, and that's kind of where they're at. So I think I don't think they've got that mentality, because I think they kind of just expected this to happen.
I think Wisconsin, more than anything, I think operates better as the underdog, quote unquote. I mean, last year they were a favorite. Three years before that, also favorites to win the division. I just think they're better suited to be the underdogs. I think it happened in 19, right? They weren't picked. I think it was at Iowa. I think it was that was picked for that year in 19 for the preseason poll. So I think it's proving ground. I mean, they have the Hunter Be Hunted shirts that Luke Fickell wears like almost every practice, right? It's their time to hunt, and they can. I mean, they have this schedule. They're gonna have to hunt very well. But yeah, I think
five teams that are ranked, and I think three of them were in the top 10. So
right,
yeah, they've got a lot of chances to prove who they are and what this team can do. So, you know, if they are the underdogs, they've got multiple dates they can show that they're not, right? So I think that's kind of where this team sits. All right, Jake, we're going to wrap up the show here, but I know before we get out the door, you got one more message to share with everybody.
That's right. J. Henry and Sons, an incredible whiskey. There's a reward unto itself. From the first sip, you will notice the difference. And again, yeah, very happy to have J. Henry & Sons as our sponsor here at Badger Extra.
Yeah, thank you to those guys. And thank you to all for listening. Make sure you're on BadgerExtra.com, getting subscribed there, because we have been pumping out a ton of stuff from camp. Observations every day from every practice. Stars of the days as well. Off-field stories from Jake, and then a couple more things coming along the pipe here this last week. And then a ton of season preview coverage for that week between camp and the start of the season. So a lot of stuff coming your way on BadgerExtra.com. Make sure you are subscribed, because not only is football going on, but we'll have volleyball season preview stuff. We'll have soccer, lots of other sports included as well. So get on BadgerExtra.com, get subscribed. Don't miss anything from Jake or I. For Jake Kokorowski, I'm Colton Bartholomew. Thank you guys very much for listening. We'll be back next week.
See you.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.